This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are happy to be back, and I hope that inshallah you all had a good weekend, a relaxing weekend. Alhamdulillah, we are well into Ramadan now. And I, inshallah, will be finishing today. We will be having the second part of the heavy topic and the important topic of family problems, how to cope. But before we begin, we will start off with some recitation of the Quran.
أعبد أيها الجاهلون ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشاكرين وما قدر الله حق قدره والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة والسماوات مطويات بيمينه سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون ونفخ في الصور فصعق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله ثم نفخ فيه أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون وأشرقت الأرض بنور ربها ووضع الكتاب وجيء بالنبيين والشهداء وقضي بينهم بالحق وهم لا يظلمون ووفيت كل نفس ما عملت وهو أعلم بما يفعلون وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين
السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We are beginning today's show with some beautiful recitation of one of the most powerful segments of the Quran. All of the Quran is powerful, but Surah Az-Zumar, this was the last 11 ayahs of Surah Az-Zumar. And just generally, just some reflections about this surah and about the ayat that were recited. This is basically a snapshot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us of the Day of Judgment. And Az-Zumar, the word Az-Zumar is the groups or the crowds or the troops. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that on the Day of Judgment we will be in groups. And there will be two groups that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in these ayat. There are the groups that are led to Jannah, and there are the groups that are led to Jahannam, wa'udhu billah. And I always, subhanAllah, personally, there's, these ayat really affect me. Anyone who has been to Mecca, especially Mecca, but also Medina, but especially Mecca, and especially during the Hajj season, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us a glimpse of this concept of people being led in groups. Because, there's really no other place on earth where, there's more people coming together in one small space than in Mecca. Even the word Mecca has been coined, using even in secular terms as the Mecca of such and such, because it's a gathering place. And this, subhanAllah, is intended to really be a lesson for us, a glimpse for us of what the Day of Judgment, just a glimpse of what the Day of Judgment will be like. That we will be in groups and there will be two groups, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among the group who is led to Jannah, inshallah. Now, that inshallah leads us to our topic for today. And we needed to basically have another show for the very heavy and serious topic of family problems, of the issue of how to cope with our family problems. And, we spoke about, in our past show, we spoke about problems having to do with abuse, problems having to do with someone who's having certain inclinations towards the same gender, and how does that person deal with it, and the family, different issues, that very serious and important issues that we've spoken about. We spoke about how to give nasiha. What do you do when your family member is not taking the right path, or what do you do when your family members are in fact attacking you when you're trying to go on the straight path? So this is, again, it needed some more, inshallah, some more time. So what we're doing now, to remind all of you, and for those who are just tuning in, please do send your questions. I am taking questions at the email serenity@onelegacyradio.com. Please do email your questions to serenity@onelegacyradio.com. And you can email your questions anytime. It doesn't need to be during the show. Also, those people who do put questions in the chat box, I do my best to take questions from the chat box. However, it's not always possible to get all the questions from the chat box. So what I want you to do, if your question was not addressed from the chat box, please do go ahead and email it to serenity@onelegacyradio.com. Again, for those who are just tuning in, we are speaking today about family problems and what is the best way to cope and what is the best way to deal with those. So I'm going to begin, inshallah, with some of the questions that I received at serenity@onelegacyradio.com. And one of those questions asks, what about my children living abroad? How do you as a mother get past that? This is a question which talks about and gets at the heart of separation. And I think that although this question is specifically targeting a mother being separated from her children, I think that it's something that anyone who's been in that situation where they had to be separated from their loved ones can relate to. Sometimes we have to be separated, and oftentimes we have to be separated from people that we love, whether it's our friends or our parents or even our spouse or our children. Now, getting to the concept of separation, I think we really cannot speak about the idea of separation without talking about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really what we have to do is look back and see where is our handhold. We all, as human beings, we are not created to be able to be self-sufficient. We as human beings need to be able to hold on to something. We as human beings need to be able to depend on something. And that thing that we hold on to and that thing that we depend on needs to be something strong. And so what we do as human beings is throughout our life, we go from one thing to another that we try to hold on to, from one thing to another that we try to depend on. And this is, again, very different than just the concept of love. We as human beings, yes, we may love a lot of things, but right now I am not talking just about love. I'm talking about dependency. I am talking about what is that center that we put our weight on? What is our handhold? And so we as human beings, again, because we cannot be self-sufficient, we try to hold on to something. And some people do try to depend on their own selves. Some people try to depend on others. Some people try to depend on their careers or on their possessions. But what we do as human beings across the board is we try to hold on to something. This is where we sometimes end up failing, or we sometimes end up falling. The reason why it happens is if we put our dependency or the thing that we have made into our handhold, something that is temporary, something that comes and goes, something that bends and breaks, what happens as a result is we also end up breaking and we also end up falling. This you see with relationships as well, that as a mother or as a spouse or as a child, to one's parents, we if we put all of our dependency and we make that this person, whether it's our children or our spouse or anyone, that center point that we revolve our life around, as soon as we are separated from that center point, then we pretty much don't know what to do with ourselves. We pretty much at that point you'll find that a person enters into a state of devastation, a state of even sometimes emotional paralysis, in the sense that they just don't want to go on, right? They're not able to go on. They don't see a purpose anymore. Sometimes you see this when someone breaks up with someone or there's a failed relationship, or someone leaves, or someone hurts you. And you'll find that because if that is what you really were holding on to most, then as soon as there is that separation, it's very hard to go on. It's very hard to function. This in and of itself is a sign that we were putting our dependency and we were holding on to the wrong things. Yes, we love our children, absolutely, and we love our parents and we love our friends and we love our spouses. But if we are unable to live without them, in the sense that a separation from them causes us so much emotional pain that it paralyzes us, that's a sign that we're putting our dependency in the wrong place. So the answer is that pain of separation can be both an indication and a cleansing in and of itself. And I'll explain why. When something hurts a lot, it indicates that there's perhaps we're depending too much on that family member or on that friend or on that thing. Perhaps we're depending too much on our children, and maybe we're depending on the feeling of being needed by someone, the feeling of being needed by our children. And maybe our lives somewhere along the line began to revolve around our children instead of it revolving around our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a trap that is so, so easy for mothers especially to fall into, because, you know, your children are so much in need from the time that they're born. And you give, you know, women give their whole lives, right? The mothers, they give their lives to their children. And sometimes it's very easy to lose that balance and to make it so that your life now, instead of revolving around your relationship with your Creator, it actually starts to revolve around your relationship with your children. And this is a very dangerous thing to do. You'll know that that's the case because, you know, it kind of becomes your priority in life, even above your obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll give you an example of that. One example is that the time for prayer comes, but you have an activity for your children. Your children have soccer practice, or your children have some other type of activity. And the focus of your day and the focus of your life is taking your children to their various activities. Or maybe even if you are praying, and as soon as you say Allahu Akbar, which means God is greater, but all you can think about is your children, or what you need to do for your children, or what your children are, you know, what activity you need to take them to, or what you need to cook for them, or what, and you'll notice that it starts to really consume you, in the sense that it's not just something that you're doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, but it actually becomes your central point. It becomes your, it sort of takes over your whole identity as a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, again, a very dangerous sort of an easy thing to fall into. What we have to do is regain that focus, that why are we here to begin with? Yes, I may be a wife, I may be a mother, I may be a daughter, but is that, or a husband, a son, right? But is that really why you were created? Is that why you were put on this earth, to be a mother, to be a wife, to be a daughter? And the answer is no, that isn't our ultimate purpose. Our ultimate purpose is to be a slave to our Creator. And it is those things that we do as mothers and as fathers and as wives and as husbands that enable that ultimate purpose. They are helpers, they are means, they are vehicles in order to help us in our ultimate purpose. If your separation from your child has made you feel now that your life is pointless, you no longer see sort of a purpose, then it means that we need to refocus. That your purpose was never, your ultimate purpose was never being a mother or being a wife, but rather your ultimate purpose is to worship your Creator. And so we have to come back to that and refocus our heart on that, inshallah. We will take a short break now, and I encourage you to go ahead and write your questions in the chat box, and inshallah, get involved. And when we return, we'll be taking more questions on the topic of family problems, how to cope. And you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are continuing the discussion today about family problems and how to cope. This is a question a lot of people have, and we've received a lot of concerns and questions about this issue. So we're taking some of them now. There are a number of questions revolving around the same type of theme, and that is, one of them reads, how do I deal with family members constantly insulting you day after day until you just want to shut off the world? In another question, they say, I'm sometimes depressed on the cruel speech of the relatives. Please tell me a way how to face them. I always pray Allah to make them good. Another question, someone really insulted me on the street and even blaming me things on me. So what should I pray to Allah for them? I actually want them to realize their mistake and want them to get back with me in peace and want them to respect me. Please help. So there's, this theme of being insulted or hurt by those close to us. I think that that's something that many people can relate to. And, you know, how to view this, first of all, is extremely important in terms of how we react to it and how we respond to it. The first thing that's really important to see is that anytime a person is doing something to you, whether it's something good or it's something bad, we have to have the ability to look through whatever is happening to us and see something deeper in it. And what that is that everything that happens to us in our life, or everything that doesn't happen, is actually a potential learning experience, or rather a lesson for us. And everything ultimately is under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and within His will. It means that what we can do is that every time something happens, if something hurts you or someone says something that hurts you, there is a way to look at that experience and take a step back and examine it instead of just reacting. Usually what happens is somebody insults me and I just want to react, or I just want revenge, or I just want to respond. But if we can pause and take a step back and instead really reflect on how is it that I should respond to this, and rather how is this something that can potentially bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every single thing in our life has that potential, that if we respond correctly to it, no matter what it is, if we respond correctly to it, it has the potential to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says that the matters of a believer are strange. Everything is good for him. If it's something that that the believer likes, that the believer wants, they are grateful, so it's good for him. And if it's something that the believer does not like, or something that is not good for him, or something he does not want, then he is patient, so it is good for him. And so you'll see that from this hadith, we learn that every single situation can potentially be good for you if you respond in the right way. In this case, we need to study the situation, look at it and see, well, okay, this person is treating me in this way, or this person just did this hurtful thing to me. How is this a potential for me to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is one of the shuyukh had mentioned that at every single moment, there is the potential to do one of three things or more. And that is, every single moment, there is the potential that there is something that Allah has commanded that I can obey, or there is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited that I can refrain from, stay away from, or there is a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can be content with or I can accept. We can actually break down our moments, every moment of our life, in this way and study them in this way. How, at this moment, in this situation of what I'm dealing with now, which of these three things is it? And sometimes it's more than one. How can I actually use this moment and transform this moment into a vehicle to bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So to begin with, we're trying to just change the way we even look at everything that comes towards us. And once we do that, we no longer see things as bad and good, but rather as opportunities to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when someone insults you, when someone harms you, when someone hurts you, that is also an opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are a number of ways for that. First, that this is an opportunity to show ihsan. That even, and this is the highest level of manners, and the highest level is ihsan. We know from the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ told us that there's Islam, there's Iman, and then there's Ihsan. And Ihsan is that highest level of Iman that he describes as worshipping Allah as if you can see Him. And if you cannot, know that He sees you. This is a way of acting where you know that you're being watched, and that you know you're being graded by the judge, and you want to beautify your behavior in the most, in the best way. How am I going to treat this person who is now insulting me? How am I going to treat this person that just hurt me? And this is where you get the opportunity to show off to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, ever since we were kids, we like to show off, right? We want to show people, I can do this, right? Or I know this better than you. But, you know, we're told that we're not supposed to show off, right? And we aren't. But actually, there is one place that we are supposed to show off. It is actually okay to show off if we're showing off to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ultimately, even if we're showing off to other people, there's nothing they can do for us. If we're in a competition, which we are, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّاتٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, that Allah says, race in towards the forgiveness of your Lord. It is a race. It is a competition. But we are competing, and who's judging? It isn't the others that we're competing with that are judging us. So it doesn't really make sense if you're in a competition to try to impress the person that's also in the competition. You're trying to impress the judge. And in this case, you want to impress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is watching you to see how you're going to react to this situation. If it's someone who's insulting you, there's a way that you can respond with ihsan. First of all, you don't just knee-jerk reaction, insult them back. But you actually respond with patience. And Allah says, and one of the advice for this type of situation where someone is treating you badly, the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine advice that He gives us is, itfa billati hi ahsan. Putting forth that which is better, that which is more beautiful. And Allah goes on to say in this ayah that if you do that, those people who even were your enemies will become your closest friends. This is a method of actually when you put forth what is best. So for example, there's somebody, and maybe you know, like the Prophet ﷺ said, he used to give to those who withhold from him, and he was always, you know, it doesn't take that much to give to those who are being really nice to you. I mean, that's kind of just natural. Like anybody can do that. And when someone is really nice to you and you, at that point, you're really nice back, well, anyone can do that. That's just, it doesn't take strength to be nice to people who are nice to you. But rather the strength comes in being good and being nice and being kind to those even who are not being good and kind and nice to you. And that's really where your test comes. And by doing that, you are really elevating yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a huge reward. Being patient on the harm of people. And then even though they are harming you, or even though they're not treating you in the best way, continuing to treat them with respect and continuing to treat them kindly. There is a huge reward for this. This is ihsan. This is the most beautiful of manners. And this is the prophetic example. This is how the Prophet ﷺ was. That even, you know, we know the story of the woman who would put garbage in front of his door. And one day there was no garbage. So he worried it, maybe she wasn't feeling well. So he went to visit her. I mean, look at this. This is the way our Prophet ﷺ was. And that's our example, especially with our family members. So the first step, again, in dealing with these things is looking at it differently. That this is not a bad thing coming to you, but rather an opportunity coming to you, and Allah is watching you. Allah is going to see how you respond. Allah is going to see how beautiful your response is or is not. And so see these people in your life as opportunities for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you're able to do that, you'll react differently. Once you're able to do that, it will be a lot easier to be patient. Once you're able to do that, it won't hurt as much, because now you're seeing this as, maybe this is actually a gift from Allah, that Allah is giving me this so that I can respond in this beautiful way and thereby be rewarded by Him in the highest way, inshallah. So seeing it differently, responding differently, that's key. The next question is somewhat related, and that is, how can I forgive others? Forgiveness is a huge issue, you know, is a huge question, and especially when it comes to family members. We know, and we should emphasize, the importance of keeping family ties. This idea of, you know, one person 20 years ago, you know, wronged my uncle's wife's neighbor, and therefore we aren't talking to them for 25 years, that's completely un-Islamic, and it's not allowed. We can't just cut off ties with our family. This is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks many, many times about the importance of keeping family ties, and how keeping family ties is connected to keeping the ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahim, the ties of kinship are connected to the ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what someone does to you, you know, in your family, that doesn't mean that you can cut off all relationship with that person or that family member, because Islamically it's not allowed. Even a stranger, someone who's not related to you, you're not supposed to cut them off and not speak to them for over 3 days because of, you know, anger, because of you being upset, or your, you know, the silent treatment. It doesn't mean that, oh, you haven't seen them in a while and therefore it's sinful. No, it's talking about, you know, out of anger and out of you know, trying to have the silent treatment against them. But imagine how much more it is with your own family, because the ties of kinship are something very, very sacred in Islam. And even when that family member is not a Muslim, even when that family member is not a believer, you still are required to treat them kindly. You're still required to treat them with respect and to keep ties with them. The ties of kinship are key. Now, does that mean that you have to be their absolute best friend and you have to be the closest? No, it doesn't mean that. But there has to be some sort of continual communication. You know, there has to be some level of relationship and respect between you. In terms of forgiveness, I want to extend the original or the earlier thought about using all these things that happen in our lives as opportunities. And one of the huge ones is that whenever someone wrongs you, whenever someone hurts you, whenever someone insults you or backbites against you, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you an opportunity to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me repeat that. Every time someone hurts you or insults you or harms you, this is actually a gift, potential gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it gives you the opportunity for a priceless reward. And that priceless reward is the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that? The way that, you know, in order to explain why that is, I'll relate a story that happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a story that many of us are familiar with. When Aisha radiallahu anha was being accused of being unchaste, during that time, Abu Bakr, her father radiallahu anha, he found out that one of the people who was spreading this rumor, this horrible rumor against his daughter, was a relative of his. And not only was it a relative of his, it was a relative that he used to support financially. As a result of finding this out, naturally, I mean, he didn't do any harm to the relative, but naturally he withheld the financial support. That was all he did. At this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe, sent down an ayah about this occasion addressing Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, rahmatullah alayh. And that ayah said, encouraged him to forgive. And after encouraging Abu Bakr to forgive, radiallahu anhu, Allah asks a very important question. Do you not love that Allah would forgive you? And so this was the question. After telling us to forgive, after telling him to forgive, he then asks him, do you not love that Allah would forgive you? In response to this, Abu Bakr, of course, radiallahu anhu, he said, yes, you know, of course he wanted Allah to forgive him. So what he did was he continued to give this relative financial support and even increased it. So looking at this story, it's just mind-boggling, right? Because this person has harmed you in such a way, and yet his giving to this person, his forgiving this person, was not for the person himself. The relationship was really with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The transaction that was being done was not with the person who harmed him. The transaction was with Allah. That with Allah, you're making a transaction. Allah is saying, forgive this person and I will forgive you. And is that not a worthy trade? I mean, think about it. Forgiving a person, something, you know, no matter how hard it is to forgive, no matter how big the harm was, no matter how painful it was, it's still something, you know, limited, right? Something that you can put a number to, right? On the level of difficulty or the importance. And in exchange for that limited thing, you're given something priceless. You're given something unlimited. And that's the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that not a worthy trade? And I think anybody who sees it in that way will say, of course it is. Of course it's a worthy trade. This is how we have to see those who hurt us. And this is how we have to understand the concept of forgiveness. Every time someone comes and gives you a reason that you need to forgive, it's an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you may be forgiven. So this is a way to actually see those people And at some point, send them a thank you card, right? Because of that person and because of what that person did to you, you were able to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, that should be your favorite person in the world. Because of them, you got this absolutely amazing, priceless gift. And that's the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no way to even quantify this. And it all happened because someone did something to hurt you. Someone did something to harm you. Someone insulted you. Had they not done that, had there not been a reason, then maybe you wouldn't have been given that avenue to go straight to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. We will pause there for a short break. And when we return, we'll take more questions on the issue of family problems, how to cope. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are speaking today about family problems and how do we cope with them. We are taking questions on the chat box. We also are taking questions at serenity@onelegacyradio.com. Somebody asked, what does forgiving mean? To talk to the person hurts you nicely. What if he, to talk to the person nicely, maybe says hurts you, what if he or she doesn't want to talk or keep any relation with you? The concept of forgiveness, first of all, is in the heart. That forgiving a person is something that you do inside. And basically what you want to try to do is see again what happened as being an opportunity for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an opportunity for you to gain something priceless. If you see it like that, if you really are able to see it in that way, then it becomes actually very easy to forgive because you got something so out of this thing, out of this event that happened, or out of this situation, you actually ended up getting really, really rich, right? So if you see it like that, then it will be easier to forgive. Forgiveness is inside. Now, it may be that you still don't have regular communication with that person, even if you never see that person, even if that person lives in another state or another country, the forgiveness is in your heart. And if there's any way that you can communicate to that person, either asking them to forgive you if you were the one who wronged them, or telling them that you forgave them, that's fine. But again, the forgiveness is in the heart. And we know that there's a story where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companions, and there was someone who was about to walk in, and the Prophet ﷺ said that there is a man from the people of Jannah that is about to walk in. And when that man walked in, they were curious as to what was so special about this person. So one of the companions actually went and stayed with that man to watch him, to study him, to see what it was that made the Prophet ﷺ speak about him in such a high regard. And what he found was, after watching him for a while, that he didn't see anything really, that different about what he was doing. And he went and he spoke to the man and told him what the Prophet ﷺ had said about him. And he said, I don't know what it is that you're doing special. I see that you sleep some, you pray some, you're not like fasting all the time. You're not praying all you're doing what the rest of us seem to be doing. He didn't see anything unique. And at that point, the man who was spoken about, he said, he didn't know what it was, but he did say, he said, but there is one thing that I am doing. And it is that before I sleep every night, I make sure that there is no enmity in my heart against another believer. That is what this person was doing that made him be referred to in this way by our Prophet ﷺ as being one of the people of Jannah. The fact that before he slept every single night, he cleaned his heart out from any grudges, any enmity, any hatred, any envy, anything bad against another believer. That act in and of itself was so high and so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it made this person one of those who was labeled by the Prophet ﷺ as the people of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be like him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to also clean our hearts of these grudges and this enmity and this hatred that we have against our believing brothers and sisters. So this is how we need to view it. If that person does not want to talk to you, you do your part. You're not going to force the person to talk to you. But the key is Allah will not ask you about the behavior of others. Allah will ask you about your behavior. Allah will ask you about what did you do and how did you respond. This test that we're in, this life is a test. And this test that we're in is about how do I do in this test, not how others are doing. I won't be responsible for how others act, but I'm responsible for how I act and how I respond. Another question is related to this, says, if I have hurt someone sometime and now I regret, how can I make up that mistake? And this is an important question. What if we are the ones who need to be seeking forgiveness? And by the way, one important other aspect of forgiveness is this. And I appreciate that someone wrote this question, because oftentimes one of the reasons we're not able to forgive readily or easily is because we view our own selves as the victims all the time, and we don't realize that we also wrong others, that we also are not perfect. And that's extremely important to understand. If I always feel like the victim, I'm always wronged and I'm always the one being hurt, and I never realize that I'm also wronging others and I'm also hurting others and that I also do that and that I'm also a fallible human being, then we have a more serious problem. And so it's extremely important that we recognize that we too need the forgiveness of others. We too hurt others. We too wrong others, because none of us are angels. If any of us think that we're angels, then we have a more serious problem than the person who hurt us. So realizing that we also hurt others and make mistakes. And beyond that is every single day that we live, we wrong Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time we sin, we are wronging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is it that we claim, or how is it that we ask for Allah to forgive us? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan and elsewhere, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving, and you love to forgive, so forgive us. So we ask on the one hand Allah to forgive us when we have wronged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we do wrong every single day against Him. And at the same time, while we're asking Allah for forgiveness, we refuse to forgive others. This is a contradiction, and we have no right to seek and hope for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we ourselves are so unwilling to give it to others, when we ourselves are so in need of it and yet are unwilling to give it to others. That's extremely important. So the idea here is, what happens when you, alhamdulillah, you do recognize that you also need to seek the forgiveness of others, you have also wronged others. The way to make up for that is, first of all, if it's possible, seek that person's forgiveness. Go to that person sincerely and ask them to forgive you. Now, whether or not that person forgives you, as long as you've done your part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you beyond your part, beyond your ability. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that that person will forgive us. However, you have to show Allah that you've done everything you can, that you have done everything you can to seek that person's forgiveness, to try to make it right with that person, and the result is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't beat yourself up if that person, regardless of what you've done, refuses to forgive you, because you are going to be asked about doing your own part. Also, sometimes there are situations where you're not able to seek that person's forgiveness for one reason or another. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive that person. Part of, beyond asking Allah to forgive you for the wrong you did, also ask Allah to forgive that person who you wronged. Part of you trying to make up for what you've done is that you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy and forgiveness upon that person. And this is, part of making up for what you have done wrong. And if it's something where you've taken the rights of another person, you need to try to make that up. For example, if you've taken money from someone and or you stole from someone, if it's a matter of stealing, this is one example to show. If it's that you stole money from someone, you harmed that person, but you also need to rectify it, and so you need to give that back. You need to give the money back that you took. Part of making it right with the person is asking for forgiveness, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, but also trying to rectify the wrong that you did, if it involves money or if it involves whatever there is that you can and should rectify. I'm going to end, inshallah, with some question. There's two different questions and about a similar topic, and that has to do with a mother who perhaps is not being equal, who's not treating the child equally or kindly. One says, what does Islam say about parents treating the children unequally? My mother worries about every need my brother has and rarely notices anything about me. And in another question, it has to do that she takes out her anger on me, but that still feels so unfair. How can I cope? Again, I would say that you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you do everything you can to try to get yourself out of unjust situations, but sometimes it's not possible. When someone is your own mother, you can't just go and buy a new mother at the store, right? You can't just get out of these situations all the time. So what we do is we start to see the situation differently. We start to see it. How is this an opportunity for me to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in my treatment with my mother or in the fact that this is pushing me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's pushing me towards getting closer to Him because of the harm that I'm going through on this hand. On the other hand, it's making me pray qiyam. It's making me make more sincere and intense dua, and it's making me get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to use those opportunities to actually bring you closer to Allah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a way out for you. If you don't see any way out for yourself, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a way out for you. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make a way out of any situation. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك الله وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.